Facebook, the Rick Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. We'd like to email us today. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Perhaps to compliment me on how smoothly I repolished that Dana Perino story and then thought to Lisa Goddard about it. 503-733-2970, or, you know, whatever. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum about this ill-conceived Duke lacrosse case, which is going to end, I think, in at least a couple of those DAs being beaten senseless, then run out of town covered in feathers and tar. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will talk to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, Scotty's Top 5, and we will talk more about Listener Party 10, which is coming up next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. At Barracuda. This email says, Rick, you should know, by the way, after just a few swallows of Vizo, everything seems hilarious. And speaking of hilarious, this is from Kathy, by the way, everything seems hilarious after a few swallows of Vizo. And speaking of hilarious, I recently heard a news spot on NPR that was about some research being done at the Cleveland Clinic. I miss the clown horn, Sounder. NPR just doesn't have your style. That's really true.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Henson suffered minor injuries yesterday when rifle shots shattered windows near the end of the school day at Gresham's Springwater Trail High School. And the same principal there? He's the same guy who was a principal at Springfield's Thurston High when Kip Kinkle walked in there almost a decade ago and opened fire, killing two and injuring 25. Thank goodness this guy's going to retire in June. He's had enough kids. The kid arrested for a shooting yesterday is Chad Antonio Escovedo. He's charged with attempted aggravated murder.
This happened at
Gresham.
Gresham. Now he didn't kill anybody.
No, he didn't.
And it's the same principal?
Yeah.
God, well, you know that principal's got to be having real John McClane in Die Hard thoughts right now. Like, how can the same thing happen to the same guy twice? I mean, it just seems crazy. Are Oregon kids crazier than kids elsewhere, do you suppose? I haven't really lived here long enough to know, because I've only been here like a decade, and I didn't live here when I was a teenager. I just sort of floated through now again. I wonder if kids here are nuttier than kids elsewhere. There does seem to be a little something in the water here that gives you holes in your brain. What is it? And Kip Kinkle's just, is he in a regular prison, or is he just in some loony bin? Is he like in a mental ward somewhere?
I haven't heard from Kip Kinkle in the longest time.
I wonder what's up with him. How old is he?
That's something terrible. My parents were friends with the Kinkles.
I don't want to sit and derail onto a Kip Kinkle thing. I just saw a thing on the Discovery Channel or something the other day where they showed an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever of his brain. And literally there's just like big holes in his brain.
Yeah.
It's like huge holes in the kid's brain. I don't want to talk about it. But anyway, so try not to shoot anybody around this principal. He's having a bad couple of years.
Well, maybe they should go through some instrument that shows the brain as they enter the school.
Totally. That's a great idea.
Well, that's why I have this job.
That's why I have this job. That and your diction.
That's why I'm employed by CES.
your diction abilities.
Yes.
That's a great idea. As you walk through the metal detector, they just sort of, instead of a metal detector, it's a holes in the brain meter.
Mm-hmm. And if it goes off, you pull aside and sent elsewhere.
You pull aside and you're sent to St. John's. All right, fantastic.
The Washington State House, Washington State, the place next door to us, has passed a bill that would create domestic partnerships for same-sex couples, and the measure now goes to the governor's desk, and she's expected to sign that. Let's see, what does this do? It would create a domestic partnership registry with the state that would provide enhanced rights for same-sex couples, including hospital visitation, and it's similar to the California law. And Oregon's trying to do the same thing.
I thought Oregon already had that.
No, they don't. I mean, there are some local things, but they don't have it statewide.
It's a Portland thing, that's right.
And most companies that you work for have it.
Well, because it's because outside of Portland, this is a red state. People don't really realize that. I mean, Portland and Eugene and so forth are blue, but you get outside of here, it's just Archie Bunkerville. So.
Yes.
All right.
Let's see here. I remember that astronaut?
The astronaut?
Yes, police in Newark,
the far-out space nut.
Well, police found bondage photos on the computer disk, British currency, and pills in her car after she was arrested trying to kidnap their romantic rival. They found, a black wig, but it looks like to be a small sledgehammer and a gun.
The floppy disk contained 16 images, 15 of them showing a woman, sometimes nude. Nearly all of the images depicted scenes of bondage. The documents did not make it clear if Newark was a woman in the photos or if the disc belonged to her. How could it not be?
I was seriously, I mean, what is it, just like, it just came with the car?
Yeah.
I don't know, if you buy the car today, you get some German porn and a whip. Here you go. Fantastic. Thank you for shopping. Thank you for shopping here. All right.
That's that. Oh, it's time for a monkey watch.
Fantastic. Here's your monkey watch for whatever the hell this is, Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
We now take you to Otis. We've spoken of this town before.
I love Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you try to buy Otis?
I did.
Didn't really work out.
Well, this is definitely going to lower property values because a tiny escaped monkey is terrorizing neighbors in Otis. A monkey with teeth that would scare just about anyone is back after escaping and terrorizing neighbors, including one who cornered it in his own garage. It happened in the delightful town of Otis, and neighbors who know the monkey said it is not a pet, but very much a wild animal. They kind of had some sticks to tamp it back and keep it back in the cage, said a neighbor who lives in a neighborhood where the monkey got loose. And he'd back up just a little bit when you threatened him with a stick. As soon as the monkey would back up...
How about you don't threaten him with sticks?
He would just lunge at him. Well, people are teasing the monkey.
Don't tease the monkey.
What else is there to do with Otis?
Your parents should have taught you this growing up. And no, it's wrong to
come
tease.
Come to Otis and tease our monkey.
Fantastic. Don't you know you oughtn't tease the monkey?
I get that. Police were called to try to trap the animal, but before they arrived, the owner was alerted and got the monkey back home himself. The monkey is named Shane. He's apparently escaped from a small hole in his cage before.
Shane! Come back, Shane!
So he probably bit through it. If there's a hole in his cage enough to escape from.
This story is just so packed. This is a target-rich environment for comics.
It is.
This story is just packed full of humor. Mm-hmm. What kind of a monkey is this?
It doesn't say. A small monkey.
Don't.
Who terrorizes neighbors.
Don't poke your small monkey with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And you put... Why would you tease... Look, I don't know much about much, but I know that if you... I know enough about monkeys to know that you don't go jabbing them with sticks, especially if they have, and I'm quoting now from the story, a history of lunging.
Yes.
Lunging is... any creature that lunges is bad news. Creatures that can't lunge, the slug, for example, are fine. Creatures that are able to lunge are able to bite. Creatures that are able to bite are able to bite you and kill you and dance in your blood, so you don't want to do that. And this is an... Well, there's only like three people to threaten in that town anyway. So, all right. Well, the monkey has been returned to wherever?
The cage has a big hole in it that allows it to escape.
So this is just sort of the story that keeps on giving.
Right.
Fantastic. Is that the monkey?
That is the monkey
There's
watch.
Your monkey watch from Otis. Whatever happened to that whole thing where we were going to buy? I think that they wanted like $1.5 million. I think that was the upshot of the problem there. $1.4 million or something.
You can only buy it with your good credit.
Not with my good credit. I can't buy a toaster with my good credit. The funny thing is, over on this yellow folder here, I actually still have, it's very funny you mentioned that, I actually have written down here the name of the real estate agent. His name is Jason McElrath. And I actually have his office and cell phone numbers right here. I wrote him down because that was after we'd gone to see Rickles and we'd driven through and we saw that Otis was for sale. So now there's some depreciation happening. What with the endless monkey attacks going on?
What's down that road? Oh, we don't go down there. That's where the monkey lives.
It's like Kingdom of the Spiders of William Shatner, except it's a monkey that's taken. Whole town just covered in vines and banana peels. Fantastic. Rick, about that monkey. Sounds like he needed to... Did the owner spank him when he got home? I don't really know the answer to that, sir. You'll have to ask...
You'll tune to NPR.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
I got this, Rick. First, the meta-irony of a guy named Dick from Woodburn sending you a clip talking about woodcocks. By the way, does this remind me anybody of the actual, the sweaty balls sketch on SNL? Yes, it does. Rick, this email says, always wanted to add knowledge to the vast loyal of, to the vast loyal legion of Rick Emerson listeners. I thought you'd appreciate that our little feathered friend, the woodcock, is also known by several colloquial names that you and the Emerson Army may find amusing. First, the Timmer Doodle, and the Bog Sucker. Fantastic. Hey, how's your bog sucker? That sounds like a Sinatra thing. How's your bird? All right. Fantastic. Here's,
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Here's Tim Riley.
Zsa Gabor is relieved at the news that Larry Burkett has been named as the father of Anna Nicole Smith's infant daughter. That, according to Zsa's husband, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who earlier said he could be the father. Well, okay.
it's all theoretical, though.
Let's think about this a little more, and maybe if we all think at the same time, it'll start.
Oh, no, and of course, the worst part is I'm trying to play the pondering music, and that doesn't want to play either. Oh, no. Oh, wait, here we go. Let's ponder it.
Okay.
What? Damn it. I'm trying to, Oh, it's all gone to hell. Is this because we're all trying to play things at the same time off the W drive?
I don't know, but I have a little note here that said, not responding.
I like how you couldn't tell that by the fact that there's no sound coming out of it. That's like when your entire computer freezes and everything else just goes gray, and then they feel
well,
the
now
need
everything
How's
is,
your woodcock doing?
Now everything,
darling little woodcock.
That's just playing by itself now.
Now everything is turned red.
Are we waiting for the,
I have a warning. Unexpected error. Card-O-Matic while activating file caused the following. A system failure. Please contact 480-348-3000 and describe the message.
Well, let's find out. Okay, I just picked up line one, and that's what's happening.
You got to call out of the hotline.
All right, okay.
Okay,
what number are we calling?
Oops, I just lost that screen.
this is a cavalcade of comedy inside of
comedy. Let's try, no, it won't let me do that either. Why don't I just go back to the dentist and let them start working on the other side?
What is it you're trying to do? Are you trying to play audio?
Yes, I am. I'm attempting to do so. Okay, let's try this. Here's Zsa Gabor's husband, allegedly.
Happy also that my wife is not so much upset because bringing a child home, you know, being married to Zsa Gabor for 20 years, and bringing home a child would be terrible for her and would have upset her very much. And she was very happy when she had to know.
Do you suppose Zsa would even know there was a child in the house?
No.
She just lays in her bed and waits for each breath to see that, you know, to see if it's the last. That's it. That's what her day is. Because she's like 98. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not like she's out there, not like they're playing mixed doubles or something. All right.
So, let's go back and talk to those ladies who are accused of being nappy-headed hoes. The team captain, Essence Carson, tells the NBC Today show, she'd be happy to meet Don Imus and get to know him just a little bit better.
We would like to get to know him behind the television broadcaster, behind the radio broadcaster, as much as we would like to show him who we are behind basketball players, because he doesn't know who we are as people. He doesn't know who we are as individuals.
All right.
This is the last day of this, I promise.
I hope. I got the emails that on both sides of this yesterday, and like us did a whole hour on it yesterday, but I think everything that, really, we're approaching the point where everything that could conceivably be said about this story has been said, re-said, dredged up, recycled, sponged off, refurbished, repolished, sanitized, and then said like a 15th time. Which is to say that nobody's defending any of the comments or saying they were good things to say, but on the other hand, you got to acknowledge, and by you, I mean people and CBS, you got to acknowledge that that's why they, as Likas pointed out, that's why they hire him. They hire him to say things. If Imus or anybody like that, or Howard Stern, or Likas himself, if they didn't say things that were occasionally horrifying to people, they wouldn't be doing their job. That's what they're hired to do.
They'd be talking about a tiny little woodcock.
Yes, it is. We, of course, don't stoop to such depths.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
They are hired to be shock jocks, and that means they start to say stuff that's whatever. That's occasionally weird or vile or hideous or what have you. And it's just.
And the other thing that people really aren't saying out loud, WNBC, where this program originates, is the top-billing radio station in America.
Oh, no, it's...
thanks in any small part to Don Imus.
Don Imus...
He may be old, but he makes a lot of money.
It is the top billing, and when they say top billing, that means the amount of gross revenue, gross advertising and other sponsor-related revenue that the station makes. The top, even though it is... And this is the other thing. Howard especially, and I'm not just saying this is some sort of a... I'm not just saying this in a sense of corporate solidarity or anything like that. It's just you can't get around these. It's the cold, hard, freaking facts of life, as Ving Rhames would say, that... when Howard was on the air, Howard was always knocking on Imus for his ratings. Howard's always talking about how nobody listens to Imus, and Imus has no ratings, and nobody the program didn't get any numbers and whatever. But you know what? Regardless whether any of that's true, that radio station makes more money than any other radio station in the entire United States. Made more than any Howard Stern affiliate, made more than any Opie and Anthony affiliate, made more than any Dr. Laura affiliate, more than any Rush Limbaugh affiliate. It made more money than any radio station in the country, as you said, largely due to Imus. Imus himself, that radio program, generates $20 million a year.
Yes.
You factor in his television program, and it makes somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million a year.
Oops, I called it WNBC, but it changed to WFAN a long time ago.
Yeah, or as Scott Farrell used to call it, WFAN. But, just the radio station alone is $20 million. So there was some talk yesterday about there was some client that yanked their advertising, which was like $300,000 or whatever. And then $300,000, nothing to sneeze at. Is Don Imus' career over? No. Is he struggling to save his franchise? No. Will he be back? Yes. Will he be more listened to than he was before? Yes. These are all things we know. And the lesson that no one ever seems to learn. And I have to say this, like, about every 8 months, because every 8 months there's something that somebody gets their proverbial panties in a wad over. It's just don't pay attention to stuff you don't like. Just ignore it. Ignore it, it goes away. You pay attention, suddenly he has a 5 share.
The thing was, nobody actually heard this because nobody actually listens to him, but everybody saw the video clip when it was everywhere.
That's my other thing. I was thinking about this, of all places, in the shower last night, and how horrifying that I'm sitting there listening to thinking about Donna Imus while I'm showering, and that'll make you have a long, dark tea time of the soul. So I'm sitting there thinking about Don Imus while I'm lathering up my armpits. And you're totally right about that. That more people, I mean, for a guy who broadcasts in New York City and is heard nationwide, the fraction, a tiny fraction, a pittance of the people who actually heard about this via the television or being relayed through some other form of the media. I mean,
and you can bet more people saw this on YouTube and made it a point to watch than ever made it a point to listen to it before this.
Which means the new media. That the mainstream media themselves sort of repeated it, and then the new media, like YouTube, put it up where people actually actively sought it out and watched it, way more so than they ever would have actually heard it. I mean, if people hadn't made such a big deal about it, it would have been, and I'm not, again, I don't, in no way do I mean to defend what he said, whatever. He said what he said, it's him, that's on him, he'll live with it for good or bad. That'll be something he has to live with. It's on the record. It's something he said on the air. He's not going to get away from that, and that is what it is. But if nobody had made a big deal about it, it would have been a second and a half of airtime that would have gone by in a blip, and nobody ever would have thought about it again. All they've succeeded in doing now, people who are opposed to this, is giving him more attention, more media, more ratings, and more money in the future. And that's just that is an unassailable fact, in my opinion. So, anyway, so there you go. So hopefully we'll have to talk about it after today.
All right. So just a couple of other notes about this. To punish Don Imus, Portland's KXL is pulling him off the air. He airs at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
He was on at 3 a.m. in the morning?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there you go. I'm sure it was offending thousands of people at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sure there was a 20 share tuned in at 3 in the morning. Thanks. That's what we call a little, that's what you call a cosmetic change right there. KXL, by the way, which is responsible for some of the worst news copy I have ever read in my life. They had this story yesterday about Randy Leonard. I'm reading now from the KXL website. Commissioner Randy Leonard has found a song he thinks should be the city's official song. Things written by, news stories written by Lars's board up now. Blah, blah. We'll get to this story later on, this thing about this official Portland song. Rick. Let's see. Is it just me, or does the woman saying, "How's your woodcock doing?" sound almost exactly like Sarah? Every time you play it, I think you're playing one of the random isolated sound bites you have of Sarah. Maybe it's just me. Signed, We Were a Lesbian Couple.
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Oh, the how's your, not the Kathy Bates sounding woman, but the how's your woodcock doing? I don't know. Well, the other woman sounds just like Annie Wilkes from the movie Misery. Well, Paul, they're called Novril. You were pretty banged up in that car wreck. If I hadn't come along, you'd be a popsicle. This is my pig, Misery. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's talk about John McCain, who, seems to be deflating like an old balloon from a circus. He is taking a calculated risk when he tries to jumpstart his presidential campaign. The decorated Vietnam veteran has opened a series of major policy addresses on Iraq, all disastrous.
Despite growing anti-war sentiment in the U.S., McCain argues America must remain and prevail, I don't know what prevail means anymore, in Iraq.
America has a vital interest in preventing the emergence of Iraq as a Wild West for terrorists, similar to Afghanistan before 9/11.
He just sounds old. When did that happen? He wasn't old like a month ago.
No, but he's old now.
He just sort of just like a Portrait of Dorian Gray thing happening there. There's a really beautiful photograph in a basement somewhere. He just suddenly, like in about 4 weeks, he just suddenly turned into his own grandfather.
Yeah, it was like a country fair. It's like in the middle of Indiana somewhere.
And he's clearly there. He's speaking to no one. He's like at a Knights of Columbus Hall in Des Moines. Oh, that's just depressing.
He knows the sectarian violence in Iraq. But cites the links to terrorists.
It is impossible to separate sectarian violence from the war against Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is following an explicit strategy to foment civil war in Iraq. The only way to reduce and finally end sectarian violence is to provide greater security to the population than we have in the past.
This is why he will never be elected, because he sounds like a guy who thinks you're stupid and who is patiently but very irritably lecturing you about something that he believes you're really too dumb to grasp.
But it's worked in the last two elections.
I guess it's true, but he has this. This is what you can always hear between the lines whenever John McCain is talking. It's a whole lot of like, God damn, you people are stupid. I'm much smarter. You really ought to just take me at face value, but I'm required to come and do these stupid freaking town hall meetings, so I'm going to explain it one more time, you stupid bunch of cattle. That's exactly what he sounds like when he talks. And I don't think you can cover that up for very long. I think you can hide that in the short term, but long term, it just comes off like varnish off a well-used coffee table. All right. Oh, we have to break here because we have Steve Castamon coming up about the Duke LaCrosse thing.
Who's Duke LaCrosse?
It's my porn name. Oh, that joke was stolen from Adam Carolla. It's one of the best jokes I've ever heard. It's Duke LaCrosse. That's my porn name. Isn't that right, Drew? That's my theft for the desk from Adam Carolla. Back during Duke LaCrosse in an Andrew Blake production. Back after this with Steve Castamon, more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Totally like that. Okay, it's freaking me out. We can't talk about it. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. In mere moments, we return to the Ministry of Truth here inside the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Coming up next hour, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. The top five, the worst song you've ever heard, Like Is at 3, Donna Mike at 7, as we count down to Listener Party 10 happening next Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from, well, he's actually, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Steve Kastenbaum from CNN, where you are you're in North Carolina right now. Right, Steve?
I'm in Raleigh, Durham, and I've been here for the past 2 weeks waiting for this to happen.
Now, I have to say, I know you're short on time, but I will say that for a while I was skeptical. I was talking to Brian Blank in New York the other day, and I was like, well, what the hell? Like, I hope his per diem is good. Why is he there for like forever? It didn't seem like anything was actually going to happen. And
It really was interesting being here for all that time, because while we were waiting for some sort of official word, I mean, we knew the investigation had been completed. It was just a matter of time. I really got the opportunity to get into the community surrounding Duke University and to get a feel for the folks who live there and see what they think of this case.
And so everybody, so what is the deal? The charges against these guys have just been dropped across the board, period, end of story.
Completely dropped. The state attorney general here said the result of his review and investigation shows clearly that there is insufficient evidence to proceed on any of the charges, and today they're filing notices of dismissal for all charges against Reed Seligman, Colin Finnerty, and David Evans. He quoted tons of inconsistencies between the accusers' allegations and the evidence. He also talked about Durham's district attorney, Michael Nifong, and that this was the results of an overreaching prosecution.
Boy, that guy ought to be tarred and feathered. Can these guys be brought up again on charges later, or is this let go once and for all?
That's it. This is it.
All right.
There will be no more criminal proceedings, and he said so this afternoon.
What kind of criminal proceedings, if any, are there going to be against this woman who, from all appearances, fabricated, at least embellished and perhaps fabricated, this entire story?
That's a very good question. That did come up in the press conference during the Q&A, and he said at this time he was not proceeding with any charges against her because he felt that she believes that an attack took place in that house that night.
Okay, but clearly it didn't. I'm not trying to pick a fight with you about it. I'm just saying that doesn't make any sense. Clearly, the state doesn't believe it happened. So the state, by definition, believes that the preponderance of evidence is such that she is not telling the truth.
Yeah, you know, the way this unfolded today, it just sort of suggests that, you know, the people of North Carolina just wanted to have some sort of conclusion here and to get over with this once and for all. You know, it's been over a year since the party took place, and I can't help but you know, interject my own feelings here, my gut, and say that, you know, the fact that they are not proceeding with any sort of perjury charges against the woman, the accuser in this case, makes me think that they just would like to see this go away.
Are the guys themselves, are the players going to sue her for defamation?
You have to think without a doubt. I mean, their defense attorneys are holding a news conference in about an hour or so in Raleigh, and we will hear more on that from them. The players expect to be there. I mean, their lives were completely interrupted. Education's interrupted. Athletics interrupted as well. You know, they were in a Division I lacrosse team here.
Interrupted is sort of a polite way to put it. You know, they were accused repeatedly over and over and over and over again, not only by this woman, but by, you know, the people in the media and on the internet and bloggers and whatever. They basically tarred as gang rapists over something that, again, appears to have been wildly exaggerated, if not just flat out created by somebody. So this the Nifong guy, now, is he, correct me if I'm wrong, he stepped down and he quit, he was fired? What's his story?
He is facing an investigation, one into him. He is accused of ethics violations and official misconduct in the handling of this case. Now that investigation has to be conducted by the North Carolina Bar. There were some new laws enacted here that would make it easier for state officials to remove a judge or a district attorney from their office, but because this happened before that law was enacted, there's probably little, if any, chance that he could be removed anytime soon. But nonetheless, this investigation is proceeding, and it will act more or less like a mini court case where he will be investigated, if not a jury of his peers, but he will be investigated by his peers on the North Carolina Bar.
All right. Steve Kastenbaum in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy your sojourn in North Carolina. We will talk to you again in the near future, my friend.
It's great to be back. I was missing you guys.
Well, it's, you know, we like to think that time away from the Rick Emerson Show just heightens the anticipation for your triumphant return. It's makes the heart grow fonder, Steve.
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There you go. That's Steve Kastenbaum. All right. I'm not going to let myself get all wound up about that. It infuriates me. It's 503-733-2900. I would almost guarantee you, I would bet you, as they say, my bottom dollar, that Like is going to be doing at least an hour or two about that this afternoon. And it's just the biggest pile of crap. Just the name of all that is holy, this fading republic of ours. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
I've been tangled up here. All right, I'm back. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said Iraq is in a civil war. It continues to divert time, energy, and resources from the global war on terrorism. And something has to be done about it. Here's Harry.
Well, I thought it was going to be.
Just more disappointment today.
it's all just sadness and despair. And it must be something on the W drive, because mine doesn't want to play. And then
what's Woodcock doing?
See, and then
my darling little Woodcock.
That's the only thing that'll play. I can't play anything. That's why I didn't go to play any music on this episode. Hi, let's welcome Steve Kastenbaum.
How's your Woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little Woodcock.
Yeah, I opted not to do that. All right, you want to take another run at that?
Well, I can't, because it all turned red. So let's try something else.
I'm sorry, Tim, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing near you.
Meanwhile, a man accused of using a chain and pickup truck to yank a 1,500-pound ATM from a market failed to escape police when his prosthetic leg fell off during the process.
Genius.
Gregory Daniels, arrested on suspicion of burglary. It looks like there's a very strong suspicion. Authorities said Daniels and another man drove up to the market at 3 a.m. Daniels.
Oh. Okay.
I meant it sounded like that. I'm starting to get my speech patterns back. Apparently, they smashed the window, wrapped a chain around an ATM, which never works, and used the pickup to rip it from the floor.
You'd think that these idiots... Don't criminals own televisions? I swear to God, I sound like Ed Harris and Glengarry Glen. I swear to God, I'm going across the street. Talk to Jerry Graff, the leads. I swear to God, if any of us on this program, and I'm not going to do this, but if any of us on this program ever wanted to become criminals, we could run a whole tutorial right here on how to become a criminal. And it's just about not being a goddamned fool. Don't any of these people listen to our show? Any of these, they don't ever watch Cops or something? It never works when you put a chain around the ATM. The money from the bank, always filled with a dye pack. The guy you've got inside the vault, one of them is always a cop in disguise. These are all things that we know. But these criminals, they just try the same tired... Don't leave your identification behind at the bank. Don't write a ransom note on a withdrawal slip that has your own address on it. These are all things that we ought to have gotten past as criminals in society by now.
Well, criminals don't listen to us. We have an upscale demographic.
Yes, it's busy using Bezo to water out their bong. That was the best way to start the show, by the way. I hope that Dean Snyder, general sales manager, was listening to that. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's do a religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
Radio.
I swear to God.
Well, this is certainly a triumph of technology today, isn't
it? Fantastic. I'm sorry, Dave, I can't play your religious...
Well, guess what?
Question.
We can go back to our original thing.
Oh, you know what? It's called God Watch in the system.
You've been playing it here for, like, a year. Okay. Best day ever. Our woodcock is doing poorly, by the way.
Like we're doing the show from Coin 6.
I didn't say that. Except we're actually here.
I was watching the other night a program on Coin. I think it was Cold Case Files. And this program is brought to you by Fred Meyer. And on the screen flashes a slide of Christmas decorations.
Fantastic.
It said, Happy Holidays from Fred Meyer.
Oh, that's wonderful. I remember getting an email from that listener. It was like, I'm stoned and watching television at 4 a.m. The Coin camera is just showing the floor of the studio for no reason. Like, he flipped by Coin, and it was like the robot camera, and decided just to show, like, the corner of the studio, like, just pointing down at the door, showing nothing for, like, 40 long, long-ass seconds. Oh, wonderful. I love technology. You know, the great thing about this program is, I have to say, because there was, you know, Lycus launched from his new studio last week, and there were some, you know, some satellite weirdness, and there's some nothing. It wasn't his fault. It was just, you know, the company that handles the satellite business. There's some glitchiness and, you know, some cute computer issues that went along with that. And, man, you really don't appreciate until you worked at a modern radio station where everything is voice-tracked and pre-recorded and off-satellite and syndicated and nothing is live and everything's coming out of a little box. You really don't appreciate how easy it is to do a live radio show in many ways. It's a lot more work, but in many ways it's just easy, like to a power of 10.
I'm certainly working up a sweat today doing this.
What with having to press the button and so forth.
Back to the religious nutcase watch. 70 Bodhis were nailed to crosses on Good Friday in a northern Philippine village where the rites drew thousands of tourists and spectators. The Lenten ritual is opposed by religious leaders in the Philippines, Southeast Asia's largest predominantly Roman Catholic nation, but it has persisted to become one of the country's most awaited summer attractions. The devotees' palms and feet were attached to wooden crosses with 4-inch nails soaked in alcohol to prevent infection from a nearby mile-long walk to the mound, each carrying a wooden cross on their backs. Among the yearly participants is 48-year-old Ruben Engie, a commercial sign maker who's nailed to the cross for the 21st time. Earlier in the day in the same village, dozens of half-naked men hit their bloodied backs with bamboo sticks dangling from a rope in a rite meant to atone for their sins. Is this in Iraq?
I really don't know.
Where is this?
This is in the Philippines. But this is the type of thing that we can know in Iraq also.
And this is a guy who had been nailed to it. First of all, he was, I don't mean to be horrifying, but I suppose in the story we're talking about a guy voluntarily letting himself be nailed to a piece of wood 21 times in a row. I was to understand.
And this isn't even a nailed gun. He's being nailed by somebody holding a hammer. What's a third world country?
They can't afford the nailed gun. They can't afford anything pneumatic. Hammer.
I barely knew her.
I don't understand, though, because it's my understanding that when you see on a Catholic crucifix, and I think that might be redundant. I think maybe only Catholics have crucifixes. Like Mormons, for example, don't have crucifixes. They don't have crosses. I wish to understand, because on a typical crucifix, Jesus is he's nailed up with nails through the palms and then through his feet. The feet was the thing that always freaked me out as a kid. Seems like that would hurt more. I mean, I suppose it's all a wash at a certain point. But I remember as a kid, I don't mean to be just dwelling on hideousness, but Catholics are into that kind of thing. The Catholics have got a whole fetish for seeing people abused. It always seems like the feet would hurt more, but I was to understand that that's actually an inaccurate depiction, because you couldn't possibly hang somebody on a cross with nails through his palms. There's just, your hands wouldn't support your weight. So do they tie these guys first, and then is the nailing just sort of cosmetic? You know, is that just for aesthetic purposes? Because if you're, like if I was, we really should demo, we should try this for Scotty. If you were to get a cross, you lay it down on the floor. And this is not an academic thing. There were guys in the Philippines that were doing this on Easter Sunday, right?
Right.
As a show of their religious faith.
Or amusement.
If you were to, they didn't have a Disneyland. If you were to lay a cross down, you bring a guy in, you lay a guy on the cross, and then you nail him through his palms, there's no, like if you weigh 200 pounds, there's no way your palms will support that. Just come right out. There's no way. So it's got to be through like,
Filipinos might be built differently than we are.
They've got stronger palms. They're a palmier people than we here in the great North American states. All right. Well, whatever. It's 503. I mean, I'm just saying maybe you would have to tie. It seems to defeat. You'd have to cheat. You'd have to rope them to the cross first, or super glue. You Velcro them to the cross, and then the nails would just be sort of there to sort of an icing on the cake, just to sort of complete it. I'm just saying. Oh, this guy saw it happen. Bill, hi.
Hey, yeah, I was there at the Park Air Base, and we used to watch the guy getting nailed up every year on Easter.
Did you just get a couple of beers and a lawn chair and go sit out there and watch the crucifixion?
It's like a five-mile walk through this field, and it takes forever. Your beer's gone before you even get to the cross. And it's out in the middle of this field, and the cross is painted black, and it's smoking hot. And they tilt it down. It's on a pivot. They tilt it down and pour water on it to cool down. And then the guy lays down on it, and they tie his arms really good. And he's got scars. He does it every year. And there's a girl that does it, too.
Really?
And then, they spike him down. The guys are all dressed, the warriors are all dressed up like Roman soldiers, and they tie him down to the cross, and spike, they cross his feet and drive one through both his feet. And then they drive one through each hand.
Now, I hate to be morbid about this, but when are we ever going to get a chance to talk about somebody being crucified in real life in the 21st century again? So the girl, is she hot?
No, not really, but
all right.
But once they're hanging on the cross, they try to jab him, you know, to simulate the bleeding of him.
Yeah.
And that was the worst part, because they're using one of these ceremonial spear things, and it's not that sharp, but they're jabbing him, and finally the guy passed out, and
now,
they leave him up there for about 20
minutes. Now, we should know, this is a real story. This happens in the Philippines every year, where these nutcases allow themselves to be crucified.
I'll bring the pictures to the show.
Please do.
Party.
So they tie the guy to the cross. Now, when they're nailing his hands and feet to the cross, now, it's a dumb question. Is he going like, ow, ow, ow? Is he making noise?
He winces a little bit. I have a video of it. He winces a little bit.
Driving nails into his feet. He's wincing?
He's got scars. He does this every year. I mean, he's used to it.
Is he, let me ask you this, from your read of the guy, is he, and I don't mean this in a colloquial sense, I mean, did he seem literally crazy to you? I mean, do you think he's a guy who's mental?
No, actually, there's worse ones. They do self-flagellation where they have, like, looks like a hairbrush, but instead of bristles, it's glass, and they rake their backs with it, and then they use these little cat o' nine tails, and they beat their backs walking down the street, and it's for penance for all the sins they've committed over the year.
Damn, people are stupid.
Apparently, they've had a lot of sins.
I used to say that I wish stupidity was painful, but it sounds like it actually is in some places.
I've got some great videos.
Seriously, now, I know this sounds horrifying, and maybe nobody else on the show wants to see this, but I want to see the video of the guy being crucified, because I want to see a guy, quote,
wincing as they're pounding nails into him.
Maybe they could add it to the Rose Festival.
I was on top of the Air Force truck when we were filming it. We were like 30 feet away when he was getting spiked.
I get a paper cut and I cry like a girl. This guy's getting huge nails. Now, are they regular like 10-penny nails or is this like a
spike?
No,
they're large aluminum nails that like what you see on a potato baker, you know, the potato nails.
On a, are they like you'd see on a what?
When you bake potatoes, people stick a nail in it.
Oh, right.
And they're aluminum. They heat real good. So they look like they're aluminum nails.
And
they're
then
huge.
They leave him up there for how long?
It's about 20 minutes. They wait until he passes out for a while, and then they cut him down.
Jesus God. All right. Well, there you go. And then the girl, same thing. They nail her to the cross?
Yeah. The guy does it in Pampanga, and the girl does it up in Ilocano.
This is a weird freaking world we live in. All right. Yeah. Please
okay,
to be.
I'll bring the pictures to the party.
Yeah, please to do that. Thank you, Bill.
Okay, see you, Eric.
There you go. Thank you. I love this audience. See, we've got people early on that are just sending us the...
How's your woodcock doing?
Oh, my darling little woodcock.
And then that guy was there and witnessed a crucifixion and has photos of it. You can ask this audience to provide anything. We had to do like a Rick Emerson... I say this now so that some dick DJ can just steal it. We had to do like a Rick Emerson listener scavenger hunt. You know? Where like somebody calls up and like, Rick, you have to get pictures of somebody being crucified. I say it on the air and then... Because you know a listener out there... I could say, I need someone to bring me... The head of Alfredo Garcia, whatever, either something. And somebody would find it. Somebody in the audience would have it. Kevin, you've got another crucifixion observation.
Hey, I was in the Philippines. It sounds like they're just doing it until the guy passes out, so it's not a real long one.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the crucifixion can take a couple days to actually kill somebody, depending on how steadfast they are about lifting themselves up so they can breathe and all.
Yeah.
For the long haul, you don't put the nail through the palm, you put it through the wrist. If you feel there right between the two bones in your arm, right before it gets to all the bones in your hand, that's a pretty sturdy area
because it would
have to take off your whole hand before it fell out.
So that'd be like about midway, that'd be like about 6 inches below your palm.
No. Like, if you feel your wrist right below where it's connected
right there.
To your hand.
Right there, like where your bracelet would fall, basically.
Right, like where you take
all
a pulse.
There's
kind of that hollow spot. That's where, ideally, you would put a nail through to hold somebody up for a good day
Excellent.
Or so.
Well, fantastic. Well, we're wondering what to do with the next listener party, so, you know, who knows. There you go, just Clyde on a huge cross all night. Fantastic. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Appreciate that. There you go. It's 503. Well, look, if we're already saying for listener party 11, we're going to do the Jim Jones thing, which it turns out my TiVo didn't tape. I did the online scheduling, and the thing is, with the online TiVo scheduling, there's a window where you got to schedule it within like an hour of the show for the signal to relay to your TV. And it looks like I missed it. So the good news is there is another Jonestown documentary on the Discovery Channel.
That's a good one. I've seen that.
Jonestown, Paradise Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, former U.S. Senator and actor Fred Thompson's announcement that he's in remission for lymphomania is a sign that he's seriously weighing a 2000...
lymphomania.
Oh, I'm sorry, lymphoma.
It's
a sign he's seriously weighing a 2008 presidential run.
Lymphomania is where you have sex with cancer all the time.
That's the opinion of Vanderbilt University political scientist Dr. John Gear. He said Thompson was wise to share that information now.
Obviously, the health issues are important and those need to be addressed, and there'll be some medical personnel I'm sure who will address it even more fully. But the fact that he's even releasing this is a sign to me that he remains serious about a possible bid.
I don't know. I don't think that guy, he might be the dark horse candidate, but I don't think he's going to win because all the creepy evangelicals are opposed to him. You can't win without those guys. None of you are Republican anyway. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I got a great ATM story for you.
Okay.
I used to work for a company that monitored ATMs, so like if they had problems, you know, we'd send people out to go service them.
Right.
And we had this one that it was turned off, so I send the guy out there, and he gives me a call, and he says, well, it looks like someone broke into the ATM and stole the safe. And I was like, well, what do you mean he broke in? He goes, well, it looks like someone took an axe to the outside of the housing all over the door, and then took a chainsaw out of the inside because the guy couldn't find any part of the ATM that's still intact. He's like, I think this is the card reader And this is part of the dispenser, maybe.
Now, did the guy actually, did whoever did this end up getting the money out?
He stole the 300-pound safe out right out of the ATM.
Now, when you get the 300-pound safe out, can that be opened?
I suppose if you have enough explosives, I don't know.
Given enough time, I mean, you really would have to get out in an open area and really blast it open. You couldn't just sit at home with an axe and get that thing open, probably.
But the great thing is that in like 90% of all ATMs, the safes are, you see, like the ATM can be mobile, but the safe is not. Usually that's bolted to the concrete slab that the ATM is on.
Right. That's fantastic.
You take the major tools to get that thing out of there.
That is so great. How much money is in a typical ATM?
It depends on where the location is, but if you're stupid enough to try and rob the ATM at a casino, that could be $150,000 to $250,000.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I always wonder how much money is stocked in there at any given time. So, like at a supermarket, you figure maybe what, $50,000?
You mean those little tiny kiosks?
Like at a Safeway or something.
There's usually about $2,000 to $3,000. Actually, one of the other greatest stories was someone just walked in and saw one of those sitting by the door. He cut the cables and picked it up and walked out the door.
Excellent. See, I like people who just got balls like that. Excellent. Thank you, Ryan.
No problem.
There you go. All right. Okay, so what we've learned today is your typical ATM has $3,000, and apparently you can just wheel it out of the store. Also, if you're going to crucify someone, absolutely do it through the wrists. There you go. That's what we've learned. That's your religious nutcase watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson radio program. Do one more, and then we'll take a break. Come back with Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, apparently, Rudy Giuliani has not done a lot of grocery shopping lately, at least based on his answers about the cost of bread and milk. Campaigning in Alabama, the former New York City mayor portrayed himself as a conservative. When asked about some mundane matters, such as the price of some basic staples, Giuliani had trouble with the reporter's question. A gallon of milk is probably about $1.50. You know, the price of a gallon of milk is actually...
See, now before you... before you even answer it, I think that's a little bit of a BS question when they ambush people with how much... That's become the new... First of all, I can't believe that in 2007 any politicians, handlers, don't arm them with that information. Because everybody gets asked that. It's such a boring thing now. Every time... Here, look, I've got this comprehensive plan to overhaul Social Security. How much is a gallon of milk? You know, that's the idiot reporters. That's their whole gotcha-like pie is... I don't even know that I could tell you the answer to that. And I do a lot of shopping. We do not have a household. Laura and I don't do the typical thing where she does all the shopping, I do it all. Just like we don't do one big shopping trip a month the way that you're supposed to. We're terrible people. We do like a couple different short ones throughout the month. And I'll be like, hey, I'm going to the store. Do you need anything? Or I'll realize that I'm out of something. Go to the store, pick up some of the staples, whatever. So I do my fair share of the shopping. I don't know how much stuff is. I probably couldn't tell you because staples, if you really do need them, you're going to buy them regardless of how much they are. That's why I can't. It's the same reason I can't ever tell you how much gas costs, because I got to buy it. It doesn't matter how much it is. It's going to be lower by a couple cents maybe from here to there, but it doesn't really matter. I'm going to buy it anyway. A gallon of milk. I don't even really know that I can tell. How much is a gallon of milk according to what's in the story?
In New York, it's $4.19. In Alabama, it's $3.39.
Really?
Yeah.
A gallon of milk, is that expensive?
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't even know.
I buy gallons. You milk drinkers.
Yeah, I buy gallons of milk and it's like $1.75.
You buy it at the same place Rudy Giuliani did. Yeah. Where do you buy your milk?
At Safeway.
It's not $1.75.
Mm-hmm. A gallon of milk.
A gallon of milk is not. You're making that up.
No,
a gallon of milk is not $1.70. What are you buying it at the week old store?
No, it's always right around that area, right around $2. It's not $4.
Well, that sends somebody out to discover the price of a gallon of milk.
Seriously,
Scotty.
Seriously, we should call a store and find out.
I just bought a gallon of milk the other day, and it was like $1.70.
You are making that up. There's no way.
Not.
Look, I don't know how much a gallon of milk is, but I ain't no $1.70. How much is? What's the next question about how much something costs?
Let's see. A loaf of bread.
Don't tell me. A loaf of bread, I would say. Well, see, it's different, though, because I don't buy... I mean, I buy like sort of
he says it's $1.25.
Well, I buy like hippie bread. Like, I'll buy the bread with crap in it, like, you know, like nine kinds of nuts or sprouted something or other. But I would say a loaf of bread's like $2.70.
No.
How much is a loaf of bread?
The average loaf of bread is $1.17, so he was close.
Yeah, but that's idiot. That's idiot, like white bread.
Idiot bread.
That's idiot suburban bread. Now, I can't handle that. I think my bread might be a little more expensive because it's. I like that bread. My whole thing is, like, the more the bread weighs. Are you looking at the price of a gallon of milk?
Yes,
don't look it up. Don't cheat.
No, but this is wrong. I swear I paid less than this.
What does it say? What are you looking up?
It's saying it says, like, $3.75.
Okay, now, what are you looking up? Where are you finding that?
On Google.
All right, we've got we'll get calls right here. We'll take these calls. You did not pay $1.70. Look, unless somebody's
really
selling
think I
you,
pay more than $2.
You didn't pay $1.70. I'll tell you that. If you paid $1.70, you're going to tell me where, because there's going to be a run on that store. to me, bread is no good unless it weighs like 12 pounds. Like, can I also ask you this? What does sprouted wheat mean? Tim, do you know this when they say this is sprouted wheat bread?
I've never bought sprouted wheat bread.
I know that I like it. I just don't.
12 grains.
I like that, too.
I figure the more grains, the better off you are.
Laura will buy this stuff, the sprouted wheat bread. I don't really know what it means. I know it's different, and I know I like it. I know it weighs, it's just like a brick. It's like eating a brick of bread. I mean, it's just, you can barely lift the loaf. It's so good. But I don't even really know what sprouted means. All right, let's do. I can't believe we're actually doing this, but here we are. Let's talk about the price of milk. Is milk is it hot where you are, and is milk expensive where
are
you
are?
Are
there any dogs running loose on your street?
How's your woodcock? I'm just going to get these calls. Scotty, don't feel the need to screen these. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I just bought some milk at Safeway about 45 minutes ago, and a half gallon of the Dairy Gold, which it doesn't have the hormones and crap in it.
Right.
Is like $2.70, and
so
the organic stuff is like $3-something for a half gallon.
So a half gallon of Dairy Gold, which is a mainstream brand, not fancy, not hippie, a half gallon is $2.70.
Yeah, then the Dairy Glen, which is like the bottom of the barrel milk, generic, you know,
right?
Milk. It was like $3.19 for non-fat, $3.29 for percent.
What kind of milk? What style of milk? Not brand,
just,
but what style of milk do you get? In
I
other words, what
the
fat content?
I usually get 1%.
Yeah, right. I usually get non-fat.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Non-fat, which is the new name for skim. You know, they don't call it skim milk anymore. I think people, they realize it, but it sounds gross.
Mm-hmm.
The skim milk sounds disgusting. Sounds like you're taking the first layer off
the inside out of a cow.
Exactly, or the first layer off a pond. You know, or like skin on soup. That's what that reminds me of, skin milk. It's non-fat milk. All right, so non-fat milk.
I'd really like to call the Safeway on Hawthorne, because I'm pretty sure I bought a gallon of milk last week, and on sale it was like $2.
Why don't we do that next? Ray, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Well, she's right. $1.98 Safeway. It's like Meadow Dairies. For a gallon, $1.98.
Thank you.
Okay, there's no way.
And yes, all the time, and it depends on the Safeways. The prices are different. And the sprouted bread, you actually sprout the wheat, and then you mix that into your bread mix, and it is like a brick, and it's really tasty.
I just wish I knew what any of that meant. All right, thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I love it, though, that sprouted wheat bread. We'll do a couple more, and then we got a break. And we should call Safeway on the other side.